Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
We are speaking in just a moment to Dan Marakane, Eskom's Group Chief Executive, about their results, about what may happen in the future, about what's happening with NERSA, possible increases in our power as well. If you have any questions, please do tweet us at Kaya on Air is our handle. If you want to send us a WhatsApp voice note, 063-688-0959, I'll be sure to direct any questions you may have to the CEO of Eskom. Mr. Marakane, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. So power utility Eskom has announced a profit after tax of 16 billion rand for the full year ending March 2025, up from a 55 billion rand loss recorded the previous year. How did that happen?
Good evening. The results that you are seeing today are coming directly from the improved operational performance that we've been witnessing since the beginning of April 2024, largely. And this is really on the back of the execution of the generation recovery plan that was conceptualized in March 2023. That plan sought to bring the performance of the coal fleet in particular to a much more better space than we were. We started off at a low base of just around 50% energy availability factor. We had a target to get that to 70% by March this year. We did not meet the target timely, but we have in the last month or last 5 weeks been consistently around that figure of 70%. So you have experienced electricity supply for more than 95-96% of the time. Mm-hmm. That improvement in operational performance meant that we could contain our diesel cost in terms of primary energy expenditure. We report a figure of some 16 billion rand year-on-year saving, and also the energy, the mix from a primary energy perspective, using coal more to generate increased sales, has added profit, very positively to our profitability as well.
Okay, just take us through plans for that profit in the short and long term.
Look, we still have high levels of debt in the business. It's no secret that at some point 2 years ago, our overall debt stood at some 450 billion rands. This is when the National Treasury intervened to assist with some debt relief. That program of some 230 billion intervention will come to an end in the next year, just over a year. We envisage to be at the level of around 300 billion when that happens. So for now, all this surplus that's generated in the business will be reinvested in the business. We have to maintain the regime of doing our maintenance and spending on our asset care to ensure we do not slip back into a very bad state of performance that we saw previously. Mm. At that level of debt and the operational performance that we have reached and sustained, we should be able to service both our debt and reinvestment in the business.
Okay, can you take us through the debt picture? What does it look like now? I know you were telling us about what happened and then the debt intervention. And then I think it's because I'm not a BCom girl. I don't understand how there is both a profit and so much debt. If you can explain that to us.
Yeah, look, when you have debt, you have to be concerned with your cost of servicing that debt on a continuous basis. Mm-hmm. As long as what you make from your operations is sufficient to cover your requirements of running the business, in some instances, your requirements of retaining some value to shareholders and repaying your debt, you should be fine. So you have, every business has got an optimal debt level that it can afford to carry on an ongoing basis. Our debt levels went very high. They shot through the roof at a time when Eskom had to do massive build programs of the Medupi, Kusile, Ngula, and the transmission lines that were installed in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. We're now focusing on trying to bring that debt level to a point where we can coexist in as far as servicing the debt, supporting the business growth and the requirements that it has to continue to provide service.
Mm-hmm. One of the challenges around debt that you have as Eskom is municipal arrear debt. As at 31st March this year, standing at 94.6 billion rand. That's a problem.
It is a big problem. We've actually gone out earlier and indicated that unless this Munich debt growth is arrested, we run the risk of undoing the positive impact of National Treasury's contribution towards our debt reduction. That figure is very stubborn. It's not coming down. It's growing, as you said. And this is despite the fact that National Treasury had put up an intervention program for municipalities themselves, mm-hmm. and very little of them are complying with the conditions thereof. What have we done? We have devised what we call a distribution agency agreement, which is essentially a collaboration agreement between Eskom and municipalities in as far as running their electricity affairs is concerned. And what we seek to do is to help municipalities improve on their revenue collection, mm-hmm. whilst at the same time capacitating the municipalities to be able to do so without ESCOM's support. What's in it for us? Of course, this means that municipalities, when they collect more, they'll be able to pay towards their costs of sourcing electricity from ESCOM. We are in the final stages of polishing this approach with all key stakeholders, and in the next month or so, we should be able to make some announcements on that.
Okay. Can you give us an explanation of what happened between yourselves and NERSA, an agreement that came to be? I know legal action was also stayed. The story seems quite unwieldy and has many moving parts. So if you could explain to us now what's happened, why you took certain decisions, and how it's going to affect us on a day-to-day basis.
Look, we came out quite explicitly and stated that we are of the view, in our understanding of the regulations, because we are a regulated business and we've been in this for quite some time, we said that in our view, what NERSA was doing with awarding of licenses to new traders was not following the very same rules that they were using to govern us. Mm-hmm. We felt that the rules needed to be amended to reflect the changing terrain of reforms, because if the rules were not amended, some of the fundamental assumptions that underpins the tariff determination going forward were being flouted. We sought to have the rule amendment happening first before the awarding of licenses happened, and we were not successful. We were very convinced with our case, and we thought we should seek relief from the courts. And I need to remind you that if you look back in the last 3 or 4 years, we've been in court close to 12 times with NERSA on rules and the application thereof. And we've won more than 95% of the cases that we've taken to NERSA. So with all humility, we understand these rules and how they're supposed to work. We thought that when we're doing reforms, we should actually update the rules so that there can be a level playing field and not unintended consequences of an even cost distribution amongst players. Mm-hmm. We are excited by the fact that when we approached the courts, NERSA saw it befitting that they should concentrate on the development of these rules and announce the reduction from a 12-month period to a 3-month period to do these rules mm-hmm. or to review these rules. Mm-hmm. We are participating in that process. We are happy with that process. It will lead us to some very considered rules that will govern everybody else. And all other participants who are interested in this matter are also there. So it is for that reason that we cannot really be commenting a lot about the merits or not merits. Let's await the outcome of that process. But for now, we have stayed the court case. We are not proceeding or doing anything about it so that we can give room for the NERSA process to unfold.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Marokane, when it comes to the results and you letting us know what's happening in the business, there's a sense from the reporting around Eskom increases and also the legacy of load shedding that there might be a trust deficit between the power utility and end consumers, day-to-day people and businesses as well. When you think about your short, medium, and long-term plans, how, if in any way, do you manage that?
Look, we do not take the trust of South Africans for granted. And as I said today in our results presentation, the trust that the South Africans bestow on us is a privilege which comes with responsibilities on our part. And we know we're discharging our job and our mission well when we enable businesses to thrive and have a great financial performance and enable the country and the economy to grow. We know we have to deal with the issue of the affordability of electricity going forward.
Mm-hmm.
We have to deal with differentiated costs that support and protect the poor and also enable economic growth. At the same time, be in a space where the sustainability of the utility is guaranteed. Because this utility, which is a national asset, as a matter of fact, so it's owned by you and me as taxpayers, as South Africans, will continue to play a pivotal role in the energy security of the country. So whatever choices we make, we have to take the totality of this into consideration. And the best time to do that is now, when we know what it feels like to be back in the space where we are not worried about electricity supply. And whilst we have it fresh in our minds that load shedding is not something that is good for this economy. And so I'm comfortable that with the revision of the electricity pricing policy that the minister will lead and conclude by June next year, we will tackle and make country choices on all these three fronts.
All right. Dan Marokane, Eskom's Group Chief Executive, thank you so much for your time on Kaya Business Evening, talking to us about Eskom's 16 billion rand, the debt burden that they have as well, municipal arrear debt, and plans for the future. Really appreciate your time tonight.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.